Morning, and if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. Appreciate so much your presence, that you've come together to worship the God of heaven, and we're delighted to have you in our study. If you take your Bible and turn to the Roman letter in the 5th chapter, while you're turning there, we want it to be known that if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning, where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you need to be restored to Christ, while we stand and sing, we'll be praying that you would make your way to the front so we can help you with any spiritual need you may have. In Romans chapter 5, look with me at verse 8 for the thought of our study. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I believe that all would agree that it's important that we go back and survey the cross of Jesus Christ. And there's something we must never forget in our lives as we strive to be pleasing to God, is the wondrous cross upon which Jesus died. You remember that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, that we keep in mind His death, burial, and resurrection. We find that in the Gospel of Matthew and the 26th chapter, as well as from the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I fear that today we do not go back to the cross as we should, and many times we do not allow the cross to sink into our heart. And for just a few moments of our time, I'd like us to carefully survey the cross of Christ. And the letter that Paul penned to the Romans will take as our text when Paul said in Romans 5:8 that God shows or demonstrates His love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The first thing I want us to do when we think about surveying the cross of Christ is to survey the fact that Jesus died. It's plain from the words of Paul that He did die. And that is an actual fact. He literally died on the cross. Now, there are some people who would dispute that point of view, but I want us to think back to what the Hebrew writer had to say in Hebrews chapter 2. When you come to the Hebrew letter and the 2nd chapter, you'll find that in order for Him to die, He had to take on the form of a man. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God might taste death for everyone." Notice that the Bible said, "We see Jesus, who was made," underscore made. He was, became man, so that He could die upon the cross. He was both God and man. But then if you take your Bible, drop down to verse 14. In verse 14 of Hebrews 2, it said, "Inasmuch then as the children Himself partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Underscore through death. It is a literal fact that Jesus died. And you know, there are many people who fail to see this. Some claim that He swooned on the cross. Others will say some angel took His place. But when I read my Bible, I find that Jesus, when He took on flesh, died upon Calvary's cross. And we need to get into our mind that that is a fact, that the man Jesus died. Though He was God, He died upon the cross as a man. But then secondly, I want you to take note that the place where He died. When I survey the cross of Christ, I stop and see the place where He died. In Matthew chapter 27, you'll find, it says in verse 33, that the place was identified as Golgotha, the place of a skull. Then if you take your Bible, you'll find in Matthew 27 and verse 36, they sat down and watched Him there. They had nailed Him to the cross, and the people of that day sat at that place called Golgotha. Or as Luke calls it in the Gospel of Luke and the 23rd chapter, Calvary. Have you ever thought that here is the Son of God, and the place where He died is not a place of comfort? You know, we hope to see our loved ones die in a place of peace and comfort, but when we look at our Lord, we recognize this place is something we must never forget. That here He died upon a hill called Calvary. Here He died in a place being put to an open shame. And He did not die a death of comfort and peace, but He died an agonizing death. And so when I survey the cross of Christ, I see the fact that He died, and then I see the place where He died. But that brought up a third thought in my study. I began to think about the death that He died. When I surveyed the cross, I began to think about the way that Jesus died. The Bible says in Luke 23:33, "There they crucified." You know, there's just not a lot said about it. It's just stated matter-of-factly. There they crucified Him. And yet, my friend, I've often wondered if in our preaching, we let people know just what kind of death that was. That was one of the most lingering and torturous deaths that one could endure. And here He was being degraded. Here He was being spit upon. Here He had the crown of thorns upon His head. And I think about the death that He died. I do not have the ability, but I would that I did have the ability to put into the hearts of men and women the kind of death that Jesus endured. That while He was nailed to the cross, beforehand He'd been scourged, He'd been beaten, and then nailed to the tree. And there He was put to an open shame. And I thought about as they drove the nails through His hands and His feet, and I thought about the fact there He died. And that it was a torturous death that He died. And when I survey the cross, I look at the cross of Christ, and my heart is touched when I see the death that He endured. But then I thought about a fourth thing. When I survey the cross, not only do I see the fact that He died, and the place where He died, and the death that He died, but I thought with whom He died. Have you ever thought that He died with those that were not noblemen of that day, but He died with those that were identified as thieves? If you take your Bible in the Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter, notice they put Him between two thieves. I don't know what they stole. I don't know all that they did. But I want you to take note that they were there because they had done wrong. And yet Jesus was there because He had done right. He'd followed the will of His Father. He had endured all the torture because He had fulfilled the will of God. And yet they put Him up there as if He was bad and cruel as these thieves were. And yet, my friend, there is Jesus on the middle cross who had no sin, who had never once violated the law of God, who never once did that which was wrong. But then I thought about something else. When I survey the wondrous cross, I think about the purpose of His death. Just why was Jesus upon a hill called Calvary? Why was He enduring this painful death? Just exactly why was He placed upon the place called Golgotha? Now I want you to stop and notice carefully what the Bible says and examine with me what God has declared. First of all, He died because of us. Have you ever thought, my friend, He is there because He loves man? In John 3:16, we quote it, but I don't know if we've ever touched the hem of the garment to what it means to see the love of God. And yet, my friend, it said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, He is there because He loved the sinner upon the earth, and He wanted to redeem him. But secondly, I want you to think He died not only because of us, but He died for us in order that we might be saved. I want us to understand this morning, had Jesus not come to Golgotha, you and I would be in our sin still. That without Christ's death upon Calvary's cross, there would be no hope of redemption. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter for just a moment and notice with me what the Apostle Paul had to say. In the Ephesian letter, in the first chapter, Paul is writing and he is telling the people that we have been redeemed. And he tells us how we've been redeemed. Notice, if you will, in verse 7, in Him, that's in Christ, we have redemption, watch it, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Underscore, through His blood. Had the blood of Christ not been offered up on Calvary's cross, you and I would still be in our sin. It took the blood of the perfect Lamb of God to take away our sin and to put us in Christ, to redeem us and purchase us back from that which is sinful. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter and the first chapter. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, notice the divine revelation said, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who," watch it, "loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." When one comes into baptism, they come in contact with the blood of Christ, and their sins have been blotted out. Then if you look in your Bible, in the Revelation letter and the fifth chapter, notice what he says in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "They sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Redemption means purchase back. He has purchased us with his blood. I often thought about if we've ever got that across as we should. This is something that we must not forget when we survey the cross, that Jesus died to redeem us from our sin. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else in the Hebrew letter and the fourth chapter. When you come back to the Hebrew letter and the fourth chapter, notice that he died to become our high priest. That was part of the purpose of his death. In Hebrews chapter 4, notice with me, if you will, beginning at verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When I survey the cross, one thing I see is that Jesus died to become my high priest. And I recognize that he is able to feel what I've endured. Notice it says, he, in verse 15, is a high priest and he can sympathize with me. Why? He was man as well. Now, he was tempted and did not sin, but he knows what it's like to be tempted. And he knows what it's like to have infirmities. And what a blessing to know that I have a high priest who can sympathize with me. But then if you take your Bible, go to the Hebrew letter in the 10th chapter. In the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter, notice verse 26. And notice, my friend, the purpose of his death when we survey the cross is to see that he loved us and that he became our high priest and that he redeemed us. And look at verse 26. He died that we might have a Savior. Notice it says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Notice that he said, if you go back away from the cross, that there is no other way to be redeemed. If you go back into the world and you do not stay in Christ, there's no other way to be saved. Christ is the only sacrifice that takes away sin. There's not enough good works that one can do on their own to be saved. There's not a good enough money you could do to purchase your salvation. There's not enough education that you can have to somehow figure out heaven. The only way you can go to heaven is through and by Jesus Christ. Now, I accept his terms of pardon. I follow his word. I do his will. And yet, my friend, I'm still nothing but an unprofitable servant. And yet, my friend, he died to be my Savior. But do you think about another reason he died? In the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, you remember he died to purchase his church. That we are blood-bought people. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, remember it talked about that they're to oversee and shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In the Ephesian letter, you remember that when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, that Paul talked about in verse 23, "For as the husband is the head of the wife, also Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body." Look at that, Savior of the body. What's the body? Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, "He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." Look at verse 23, "which is his body." Have you ever thought, my friend, he died to save people? And what we are when we come together, we are the church. We are the people who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so when I survey the wondrous cross, I see the fact that he died. Then I look at the cross and I see where he died and with whom he died and how he died. And then I see why he died. And you know what that should do? That should give me more love for Him. Every time I look at the cross, it makes me realize just the amazing love of God for me and how little sometimes I do for Him. But secondly, it should make me zealous to save others. When I survey the cross and see what Jesus did to save man, should I not be willing to take that message to others that they too can have redemption? And third, it would give me more understanding to be a servant. If I saw only a touch of what they did to Jesus before the cross and then what they did to Him while He was on the cross and see it was for my sin, I would want to be His servant. You know what we need to do? Not just on the Lord's Day, though it's important we do it when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But every day, we need to stop during the day and pause and survey the cross of Christ and remember what He did for our salvation. When I survey the cross of Christ, it makes me realize just how much God hates sin, but loves the sinner. That He provided a way for us to have our sins redeemed through His Son by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I've showed you everything I could this morning from the Bible. I wanted you to be able to put your finger on the passage. And our hope is that you will look at what God said and that you will see that God wants to be your Savior. He gave His Son's life and it showed God demonstrated His love. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we might be saved through the blood of His Son. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you do so this morning as together we stand and sing.